This is the Atlanta season 4, episode 10, series finale. It was all a dream. You know what? As much as I hated the show, I think I'm gonna miss it. That was the episode synopsis. But it definitely sounds like something somebody would say that does hate watch the show. We begin at Al's house as Darius is on the couch observing Earn and Al, almost like he's cherishing the moment while vibing to his music with his headphones on. We get a glimpse of the TV, Judge Judy's on, and a Popeyes commercial plays with dude killing it in the kitchen. Just how those commercials tend to go. You gotta shuck and jive for your food. You know how it is. The plan is to go and have lunch with Van at the first Black-owned sushi fusion bar that her friend invested in. But Darius has a sensory deprivation appointment and plans to meet up with them once he's finished. Now, in the next scene, Earn and Al are walking into the restaurant. They park in a self-parking valet type of situation that makes no sense. But I mean, valet really doesn't make that much sense when it comes down to it. Unless it's like OD type convenient, then just drive your car yourself. But that's a different topic. So at this restaurant, they're experiencing supporting a mediocre Black business. You want to love it, but it doesn't live up to the hype. So they're debating whether to stay or to head over to Popeyes. Look, supporting is one thing, but if the service and or food is not hitting, bye. Like, you can't lie to people and think that that's going to do them well. Like, you obviously have to be honest, but you got to be nasty about it. But you know, just how you do regular business. Just because it's a Black business doesn't mean you have to automatically like it. But more on that later. Darius stops by a pharmacy where we learn his last name, finally. Darius Eze, apparently. The pharmacist is unable to locate his meds at first, so she goes to the back to check. In the meantime, we get an interesting, brief yet poignant discussion with Cree Summer, the greatest voice actress ever in life, period. No debate, no contest, no nothing. She overhears him mentioning his sensory deprivation appointment and shares her experience about the flow taps and how it can be overwhelming and intense, so she had to slow it down. Darius tells her he anchors himself with visions of thick Judge Judy. The idea is that if he sees Judge Judy, because she's always on TV, he knows he's in the tank. Here's another meme for you. You're still referencing the memes here, people. I'm pretty sure at this point, I hope you've seen the thick Judge Judy meme. If you haven't, then where you been at? Cree goes on to say that she sees the world as a battle, but she's free to live through it on her own terms. Darius tells her she has a beautiful spirit, as Cree Summer does, and thanks her for her time. Back to the restaurant. Van reassures Al that the restaurant is excited that he's here, and they should get great service based on Paperboy being somebody out here with his Farmer Dan flannel on. As they're seated, the waiter comes over and offers them hot towels. Mismatched hot towels. As Gunn is playing in the background. The towels were the first sign that they should have left, but more on that in a bit. The chef also comes out to greet them because he is a special guest. He also accepts, "What's up?" rather than, you know, the typical, "Yes, chef," how we're used to hearing and seeing in different kitchens on the television. Shout out to Gordon Ramsay. I feel like it's moments like this is when you essentially connect with whoever you're sitting with, because at this point, everybody's peeped like what's going on, but it's just a matter of how much is it going to take before somebody says, hey, all right, let's just go somewhere else. Or can we go somewhere else now? Clearly, Al has been over it before they even stepped into the place. So it's only a matter of time. Darius leaves the pharmacy to head to his sensory deprivation appointment. And he's walking down the street because Darius, why not? Only for macrodosing London from the south side, pulling up on him in an Altima, blasting Glorilla. As they catch up, she tells Darius to hop in the car. She'll give him a ride so they can continue the conversation. She's well beyond lit, only for them to get pulled over like 5 seconds later for her mom's murdered out tinted windows, allegedly. London really passes a sobriety test with homeboys in outer space trivia. I mean, if you know, you know. Clearly, it only had one season, but for whatever reason, it's still in our minds and in our hearts. After she passes, she's cool and making faces, only to snatch the cop's gun, hop back in the whip, hit a pedestrian, and then flee on foot. Darius grabs a gun. Then we wake up because, bruh, ain't no way. Darius is a wild boy. At this point, the worker comes back and sees that he's kind of stricken with the anxiety, I'll say. And he offers him tea. So he gets out the tank to have tea in the tea room while relaxing in the tea room. At this point, the weirdness had me thinking, okay, yeah, this just may be a dream within a dream sequence. But no, they were being extra. The two white women that were also in the spa are just cutting up, having a great time because they're having tea in the tea room. And tea in the tea room is tea. Yes. That's probably the last time I'll say tea. I lied. But yeah. Thinking that he's in a dream, he gets up and screams in one of their faces to wake up. No, he doesn't wake up because he's getting kicked out of the spa. Back to the restaurant with Van, Ern, and Al, and the Beyond Stale Blockbuster snacks on display. After having a mediocre chicken skin salad, yellow rice with corn, Al and Van are over it. Ern is more so, I want to say, lenient to the experience. And he's willing to give it a try, but they want to go across the street to Popeyes at this point. The waiter offers them hot white Henny. Al turns it down and heads to the restroom instead. We catch back up with Darius, and he drops off his brother's prescription. Kevin Iso just fit in perfectly. I know I want to say, oh, but she was on the rest of the series. That's too easy to say, but this was perfect. We get a small nod to his brother wanting him to live his life with his friends. He steps away to get him some jello fries as Darius asks how their parents are doing. Only for thick Judge Judy to catch their attention. Now, when they were having that dialogue, we didn't get an answer from Darius's brother, at least on our end, but Darius is acknowledging him and continues to ask about, you know, how's mom, how's dad? So he hears him, but we don't. Ooh. He's still in the tank. He asks the attendant how long he's been inside for, and it's only been 30 minutes. Only to wake up in the tank again. So, yes, I finally get my dream within a dream sequence. This is Darius's Groundhog Day inception experience at this point because, yeah, he's going through it. What seems like hours later, Al returns from the bathroom that was in the rainbow across the street. The fact that they had the key for a restroom that's not within the restaurant, that, again, how many signs do you need at this point? Another X on this restaurant's experience. He doesn't sit, lay, crawl back into his seat, this time, so you know he's ready to go. He's already up, headed toward the door, because the high schoolers are about to get out of school. We got to tip our hat to Arn's dad and the mall experience, him trying to hurry up and get his business done before church lets out and all the people start peopling in the mall. The maitre d' gives them a strong Hotep speech on the flimsy idea of supporting Black businesses after overhearing the crew's desire to leave and go to Popeyes. He speaks on how critique and word of mouth pretty much obliterated their business. For example, he brings up the night Queen and Slim premiered. It was popping for 15 minutes until word got around that they were serving poison fish. This also speaks to the idea that Black-owned experiences are often seen as less than, or they aren't regarded as highly as other establishments are. They're scrutinized and seen through a skeptic view despite doing the work. We also witnessed a crew at this restaurant that was essentially thrown together. I mean, I can't blame them in this case because this is kind of like not the greatest, and it would ruin anyone's perception of the place, to be honest. He tries to get Al to eat the poison fish. Shout out to The Simpsons, season 2, episode 11, One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish. Hot sauce couldn't even make me take a bite of that. There's no way. Like, the fact that you have to cut it a certain way or it is poisonous, nah, that's a high risk. I don't care how much of a delicacy it is. Get that mess out of here. The maitre d' tells him to look over at the modern day coon chicken. As high schoolers are exiting, TikToking, whatever the hell else kids do these days, and says that's really the future. One of these days, we're going to talk social media because, yeah. He then speaks about how we don't trust each other with amazingly written dialogue that focuses on regional stereotypes about what you have to watch out for when you visit certain places. The idea that a lot of people support Popeyes with its not-so-secret corporate recipe and spices, but in marketing holds a different cultural concept visually, is pretty wild. Oh man, let's not have another moment of when those sandwiches had people in a frenzy. You want to talk about embarrassing? That was a time. And the fact that they alluded to it, but they didn't really give us full-on frenzy, it was enough. All we needed was like a little hint of Popeyes. A little hint of a dry biscuit, you know what it is. He continues to go on and on. And eventually gets to the point where he tells the waiter to lock the doors. And within moments, Darius saves the day, punches him in the face, and they all hop in his pink Maserati, riding off into the sunset with Popeyes in hand. A pink Maserati that he stole from the valet, mind you, because he thinks he's still in the tank dreaming. Earn assures him he's not dreaming and he is literally here hanging out with his real friends. No more deprivation tank. Like, this is real life. You're here with us. He has another moment when he's staring off longingly at the crew while they're out on the patio, smoking old McAlfred's weed from his safe farm, enjoying them, their presence, and just existing, honestly. I didn't mention it earlier, but do you ever have those out-of-body moments when you step outside of everything that's happening? Presently, not to question the goings on, but to take it in? No? Just me? Oh, all right. Judge Judy is back on TV. She gets up, but we don't get confirmation if she was sick or not. But we do get a slight grin from Darius. And it's a wrap. Is he relieved? Is he shook? We don't know. Ready for my score? Now, if I give this season a 5, will that be the highest rating I've ever given to anything in life via verbal vibe mode? Well, I'm doing it. And no, not just because this is one of my favorite shows of this era, but for a final season to be this solid, it makes no sense. Did we get everything we wanted? No, but that's okay with me. Getting to see how much Earn, Al, and even Van meant to Darius in the end was a perfect capstone. Despite Darius being a loner without close family, he was able to experience that with the crew. The portal this episode was a bowl of Jell-O rice that Darius's brother was cutting for him. Nah, it wasn't, but it could be. It was his moments of transcendence and confirmation that his brother, who has passed, and I can even say his family that passed, is okay. But fine, I'll be serious, since the portal was the sleep deprivation tank and the adventures that Darius has while he was sleeping, kind of giving us the opportunity to separate the real from the fake as we move through the episode. The show will be greatly missed. A void that will last and can't be duplicated. Although some may try, Atlanta really sits in a genre of its own, and for that, I'm thankful to have experienced it. Give them all of the awards they deserve, because they do. And I mean, these performances were beyond stellar. Reviewing this has been a pleasure. And I am serious when I say it's one of my favorite shows. Release the box set, please, so I can add it to my collection.
Who still watches box sets?
I do. Mind your business. Last but not least, the Atlanta movie. Not a need at this point, but it's a want. Duh. I mean, just purely for the fandom of it all. Even if it isn't in the form of Atlanta, imagine the crew and cast even giving us a series of movies in different genres. Just my dreams, just sharing them. I'm not in the tank. But if you are, feel free to engage with us, tap into the Spotify app, and check out the poll and Q&A sections. You can also leave your thoughts via Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, or verbalvibemode.com. Or leave a voicemail using the Anchor app if you happen to smell like the manager is mean as hell. All important links are in the description box, per usual. Peace.